Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host here in Los Angeles, and so happy to be a part of the Live Paranormal family and all of our syndicates around the world, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio. The list goes on and on. Thrilled to be coming into your homes, your phones, your cars, every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. We're at liveparanormal.com and we're at raisingthevibrationradio.com. I'm at sheenametalspiritual.com. Raising the Vibration, the radio show, is an outreach of a spiritual movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded on November 9th of 2016, my mother's birthday, the year that she passed, to carry on her teachings, both spiritual and humane. My mama believed that there were four things humans really needed to work on: peace, love, kindness, and unity. And those are the four cornerstone words of this show, of this movement at raisingthevibration.org. When I brought this show over, I started this show in January of 2017 at another radio affiliate. It was the first outreach of the movement. When we moved to Live Paranormal, I wanted to revamp it a bit, so I added cornerstone words that were just for this show, and they are ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. Basically, what are you doing to raise your own vibration? What are you doing to ascend? How is that a part of your spiritual and humane evolvement? And then how are you taking both of those things, your ascension and your evolvement, and using them to inspire others? In essence, sending the elevator down and bringing up 100 people. And then the last word, I overlapped, love. Because we live in love, we are love. Love is all around us. Love is all we need. All you need is love. Love is everywhere. We can never have too much love, and I'll probably say it on the show 50 times. Speaking of love, every week on the show, I gather folks that I believe are the brightest and loveliest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in the spiritual community, in the paranormal community, in the world of give back, profit world, the world of service. This show is about passion. It's about service. In essence, what are you doing to make the world a better place? And my guest today is a dear friend, fits very much into that. And I'm so excited to have her here on the show. Please welcome, not for the first time. She's been here, pretty sure she's been here on the show, but for the first time since I brought it over here to the Live Paranormal Network, my wonderful friend Angelica Perman is here. How are you, my friend? What's going on in your world? And it's wonderful to have you here and great to hear your voice.
Hi, Sheena. So great to be here. Congratulations on this endeavor, because I haven't been on this platform with you, but over
at
the studio. Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
But at the other studio, were you ever on Raising the Vibration? I know you were on my daily show, and I know you were on my Haunted Playground show, but you did Raising the Vibration too, right?
Yes, absolutely. So fun. And it's really interesting you reached out, because I was thinking about you this last week, and I was thinking about, wow, I really missed doing radio with Sheena, and I'd never reached out to you and talked to you about it. I just, so you got my telepathic, hey, I'd love to do the show with you.
If you think it, I will come. It's like stealing dreams or internet radio. If you think it,
true.
I will come.
You're always like
that,
Tina. You're
thinking
very
about
telepathic.
You for a while and having you on the show for a while. And today my co-host is my almost 18-year-old cat, Molly. She has some things to say, so she'll be talking throughout the show, I'm sure. She would like you to know she has cancer and it's no fun, but she's
Aww.
Hanging in there thanks to the miracle of steroids. So.
Hi, Molly.
Her cancer's better, and she now looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger thanks to the miracle of steroids. Now a big burly kitty you wouldn't mess with in a dark alley. So, I mean, I have not done radio with you since COVID. I lost my last radio affiliate because of COVID, and was so excited to be so soon later scooped up by the Live Paranormal Network, first to do video shows and then to do radio shows and more to come. I do two shows here. Haunted Playground is now on Wednesdays at 6 here, Pacific, and I'm working on a new show. Hopefully I'm going to start before the end of the year. But it's my first time having you here. So how has the world changed? How has your world changed as the world has changed because of the global pandemic and the quarantine? You know, I know as light workers, we have still thrived, right? But as a human, how has that been for you?
Well, like most people, it's a complete and total trip.
right.
I was prepared for this because I had a vision in February of 2020, and I was shown psychically what was going to happen. I didn't know the exact I knew that there was going to be something that would happen to the world, that it was going to be very tough, that people would pass away. And then I had a vision of martial law and riots and these kinds of things. And also, you know, the shots. So I felt, and then I was shown what I needed to do to keep my vibration high, that I would be very busy working with people. I would be okay. All my friends and family would be okay. And that it would be a time to really thrive spiritually, although it would be difficult and isolating. So my personal life, I went through a lot. I was working. I was an essential worker at a rehab and then had tons of clients at home. And I spent a lot of time teaching and supporting other people and doing the little things that kept my vibe up. And one of the things was just having daily walks at the beach and meditating and talking to all my friends and family all the time. So there were so many things that shifted with my own personal life and very deep, powerful insights. But I feel like the ascension process is now in its final stages. So it's a very intense time for us all to look at our stuff. That's my answer, my short answer.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. So much of my life has changed. You know, when I was 23, I bought a house and I moved to the San Fernando Valley from the beach, from Orange County. And every time I would come home to visit my mom, who you know was my world, I would say, God, I love being here, Mom, but I'm so glad I moved out of Orange County. And then a month before COVID, well, about 3 months before COVID, I started becoming very invested in spending more and more time with my best friends, my two best friends, who just happened to be down here. One was my best friend from high school. One is a cousin of a friend of mine from Los Angeles. And I started thinking about splitting my time after I inherited my mom's house and living half time there and half time here. And then right before Christmas or right after Christmas of 2019, I met a person and fell in love. And it turned out that she lived down here, very close to where I grew up at the beach. And, you know, I thought I would just come down here on the weekends until I figured it out. And then a month after we got together, COVID hit. And there really was no reason to go back to LA because, you know, there was nothing going on up there, and it was very locked down, much more so than down here. And then a bizarre thing happened. I I kind of fell in love with the beach again. And I fell in love with where I grew up. Is it imperfect? Yeah. Are there things I would change about it? Sure. Does it often have my political and cultural resonance? No. But I think I need to be here because it needs help. So I've spent the better part of a year and a half here where I grew up. And that's a trip and something I never expected, right? A happy accident that happened from COVID. And I certainly am not going to get rid of my place in L.A. because I know for work I'm going to need to be there. I'm trying to sort of turn it into my retreat center where I can see clients, like my office/workspace.
But I love that.
I don't know that I will ever live away from this beautiful beach again. And whoever thought, I fought so damn hard to get out, and it just took one global pandemic to bring me back. Isn't that the strangest thing? And I think that's one of the gifts. Each of us were given gifts because of this tragedy. And I think that's one of the gifts that I was given, to sort of go back where I came and realize that it's good that we leave places that we outgrow, but then sometimes as we become healers, like you were saying earlier, we realize that that's a place that needs us.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, you know, and you know, my, you know, because we're friends, that my goal has always been to open a spiritual center. And my plan was to open the LA center and then someday open the center down here. Angel
City
Spiritual Center.
I remember you talking
center,
about that.
Mm-hmm. And then First City Spiritual Center. But now I think I'm probably going to open the one down here first, because I think this area needs me. There are so many people who grew up very conservative. I mean, when I grew up here in the 80s, the ladies from my dad's work, the other wives, would come over and tell my mom to put her fairies away, you know? put these fairies away and these dragons. This is disturbing.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to put a big-ass Buddha in front of my house and a giant Ganesh. I hope everybody's okay with that. I just feel like this place needs my love. It needs my spirituality, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were moved by this. Period. Sorry to interrupt you, but I was thinking, you know, how a lot of people were moved. Some were moved inwardly, and they really needed to look within, and it was hard because they weren't used to that. Some like yourself, moved back home or where they used to be. There was a lot of endings of relationships. I mean, this is normal life, but I think it really pushed people to make some decisions that maybe they were sitting on the fence about, things that were really important to them and looking at that. And for me, I had put down a music project that was very near and dear to me, and I had gone through so much, I just couldn't work on it anymore. And then during COVID, we got in the studio, and what was really cool is producers and people that work in music and entertainment were considered essential workers. So we got to go in to the studio, and I finished 3 music projects. I really birthed songs or something like that, 20-something songs from all of that inner work that I was having to be forced to look at. You know what I'm saying? And I poured all my emotion, all my frustration. And there was a song that came to me called I Surrender. I wrote it before the pandemic, for the pandemic. As soon as I saw what was happening, I was like, okay, I think it's coming here. And I had that vision. And the song is a prayer, an invocation, but it's a pop song. And it's intended to have people say, I surrender. And it talks about all of the things that we may need to look at and release, personal things. It's my own personal story, but I hope that it reaches other people, that they can surrender with it. And we just shot a music video in Ojai, a fire ceremony. It's so cool. I mean, it's super cool. With projections, we did holograms, and there was a full moon. It was last full moon up over the sky. And it went right in between 2 little mountains, and we had our fire ceremony right there. And we'd set up the fire ceremony before the moon rose. And I was like, please, could it be right over our head? And it was one of the movie moments, Tina, where it's rose right in between the two mountains, right up over my head when we were doing the fire ceremony. And so when people watch the video, they'll be able to get that energy from it, where they can release their pain, their hurt, their loneliness. So that's what I did with my time. While you were moving out, I was moving in and working on a lot of creativity.
Yeah, and I plan to go back to a lot of creativity. I just find that this is the decompression that I needed, you know?
Mm.
I don't know about you, but I remember I was getting out of my my car in front of my girlfriend's house. It was about 9 o'clock at night. So I was thinking, I haven't spent this much time at home. Now, in this case, it was her home. I was going back and forth between her home and my home in L.A. and spending time kind of, you know, making my place down here livable, which I'm still working on. I don't think I've spent that much time at home since I was 14. Like, I was always out. I was always running.
Right.
I was always going somewhere. I would literally stack parties up so I could find a way to visit six people if they all have parties the same night. I needed to do that inward work. I mean, I did it, but I did it like while I was driving or while I was in the shower. Like, I needed time to decompress, and I didn't even realize how badly I needed that time to decompress.
Mm. Yeah,
and it wasn't like I just
going and going.
Right, and it wasn't like I sat around and, you know, contemplated my navel. Like, my spiritual practice took off like a shot, which I was literally at the beginning of COVID, like, rationing all my money, thinking, oh, my God, it's going to be bad. But, it's, you know, for people who work in the world of helping and healing, right, my partner is a therapist, and the two of us have been as busy as can be. So there's no lack of people that want help during this time.
No,
but
they
I
need
do
it.
A lot
and
of going out. What?
Oh,
what,
I was saying they need it. I was saying they need it. And they're still, even though people are going back out and there's work and there's things, it's not the same. And I think people realize that there's a lot of fear that's being constantly pumped out, and that it's time to really get down and be more spiritual. People that were not awake before woke up during this time, started to see there's more to life than just the mundanity of going to work and we do every day. They're important, but there's so much more. And people like us, we've been living like this for so long. I mean, it's normal to us. So for me and all my friends that were like me, we're all like, we feel fine. We're okay with this. We're like good being home. We like not socializing as much. But then there's a point though where you're like, oh my God, I need people. We had a little pod. I had a couple people we would always see, but I had my musical posse, and I'd go over there. A group of people have a music studio down in Palos Verdes, and they live a conscious community. They're all musical artists, and we would just jam and sing, and it was fantastic. And I'll tell you what, I really needed that, Sheena. Because of the isolation, to have those two pods, you know? And I think a lot of people have their little pods. But I can only imagine people that didn't have anyone, that they were really alone and not used to that.
Well, I think that's what Netflix is for, right? I mean, I say that as a joke, but I truly think that is what Netflix, I think people just sat home and watched a lot of Netflix. I love those memes that said, like, I finished Netflix. What do I do next?
That's so true.
You know?
There were some
good
shows. Like, I like the shows.
Right. Like, everybody just, I did everything. I watched the entire Netflix. What's that? But we did, and it was weird, right, how you didn't hear from people. It was a very strange situation. That there were just some people just disappeared. And I know a lot of people got real tripped out about it. And I didn't. I was like, look, I didn't feel like anybody doesn't still love me. I just feel like people needed their time. I think everybody was sort of relishing in their time of, oh, my God, this feels so wonderful.
Except, I think some people were suffering, you know. Some people lost their jobs and went through so much that it was hard for them to relish in that.
Oh.
But people that were more on the light worker, like, you know, healer side, I think a lot of us were preparing for these kinds of things. We didn't know what it was. We, you know, something's coming, and you need to be there for people. So right now we're like a tail end of this. And I really hope that people can reflect on the positives. A lot of people lost loved ones, and that's really, really hard. But the rest
so
of us,
that's
didn't.
What I
yeah.
And I've lost so many people that I loved. It's so difficult. It's so hard that it's so many older folks, you know, that I loved, I lost.
I mean, that part of life.
And wonderful people
it's
that
so
the
strange.
World lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Truly. You know, people.
And that's a hard thing, right? As light workers, we think about that, right? Like, what? How hard is it that, like, for us? I had COVID. I got it in 2020, and I have all the long haul symptoms, so it's a hayride.
Oh wow!
But I'm alive, right? And we're hanging in there. My partner has all the symptoms too. We have different symptoms, some the same, some different. I think it's been harder on her. I think I'm so used to, like, having had health problems in my life. I'm like, well, it's just like having 20 more. I can do this. But you feel bad for the people that didn't make it. You feel bad for the people that are suffering with continuing complications. I feel bad for the people that have so much fear. But then for other people, mm-hmm. I know, like you said, for for people who, you know, like I have artist friends that when they started getting their COVID relief money, they were like, I haven't had this much money ever, and I actually could do some stuff.
That's true.
I think a lot
friends
of projects
that have the same experience.
Right. I think a lot of projects got made because people had money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sad that we're at the end of a Kali Yuga, dark age, heading into the golden age, which would then bring 1,000 years of peace. And part of that golden age is a boom in the arts, all of the arts. And so I find it really interesting that so many of us that are artists were in that cultivation process. And now the next year or two, it's going to be a big boom of creative expression coming out. And I think that's really going to continue after this. That's part of bringing in this golden age.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's right. I mean, it really is, I think, an important part of the shift to the age of Aquarius, right?
Yeah, absolutely the beginning. It's the dawning of the age of Aquarius. When was that alignment? A couple years ago when the actual alignment happened? Do you remember? And, you know, from the sun Aquarius, actual alignment happened.
Yeah, I believe it has begun, but it's not mm-hmm. done yet. Isn't that what it is? We're still dawning.
Yeah, I mean, it's the dawning. We're dawning. We're just waking up. Oh, wow. And so people all over the world that never were meditating, never even praying, never looking at their chakras or doing anything that's about healing, they found these apps. They found things online. They started to go out and go to nature again because that's all they could do to really meditate and connect and get more spiritual. And had a lot of clients at the rehab that just woke up. It was like, boom, it's like they were in a sleep their whole life. COVID hit, ended up in a rehab, wanting healing. And they were like, this is amazing. This is such a blessing to go through all of this and now wake up to my true self and not have all this trauma and start to live life. So the healing that's available right now is really deep, really. It's one of the best times for healing. But, man, navigating the change and the 5G, things, thoughts becoming things quicker and quicker. Wow. And we're being constantly shaken up from the inside out. Right? I mean, that's what it feels like. There is no outside. It's all inside now. You can look outside and go, oh, yeah, that's not me. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. everything's being shook up. All our ego, all our symptoms, all our fears, you know, and all our gifts, all our beautiful parts for that connection, the, you know, real traction of our higher self. Because I think ascension is bringing our higher self here. It's not going up.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing our higher self into the physical world. So I think a lot of times people think of ascension
right.
as we're rising up. It's like, no, I think we're grounding in. What do you think about that?
I think that, yes. I think that ascension is getting closer to spirit. Moving closer to the oneness of everything. But we know spirit doesn't live in the up. Spirit lives in the inside.
Right.
I think if you really believe that God sits on a cloud on the moon, then you think ascension is up. But,
right. Right.
But I think ascension
well, even from
is
the perspective
within
of...
yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was saying in perspective
you know,
to different dimensions, right? Like higher frequency dimensions, thinking of ascending to a higher
absolutely.
Dimension that has more well, higher frequencies. But I think the frequencies are so strong right now that we need to physicalize and ground them in because people are going a little cuckoo. It's like happening very easily because the energy is constantly cooking. So grounding in, like just the regular grounding practices are essential. Just, I walk around barefoot all the time, no matter how cold it is, whatever, as one of the things to just kind of be here in this physical body because, damn. It's hard to feel like we're not floating in space right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it 100%. I've always done that. I've always grounded in the I've never worn – I don't wear shoes when I do radio.
Oh, really? That's
even
right.
Even when I'm sitting in a studio.
Remember that.
Remember?
Uh-huh.
I take my shoes off
uh-huh.
before radio. Yeah, I like
you
to feel like my bare feet on things. But I think that's growing up at the beach. I think that – we never wore shoes. I mean, I used to hate shoes until I, at one point in my early 40s, had to start wearing shoes because I got, like, you know, the plantar fasciitis. But it was
oh,
I
got that from
shoes.
Living at the beach, walking barefoot for 2 years
yeah.
at the beach.
Yeah.
I was like, what's wrong with my foot? And they're like, wearing shoes.
Exactly. I'd book clubs on the Sunset Strip, and I'd sit there at the door with my shoes off. Or if I had to wear a shoe, I'd wear like those little ballerina slipper shoes that just had like a little sole and some, and you know, and a little bit of spandex. But I didn't. And then one day I was like, why can't I move my feet? So I had to go break down and get some Easy Spirit shoes, which is one of the hard
oh
of my life. But I had to do it. But my feet never hurt again, so that was yay. But, yeah, I love – and now I think about what a foot pussy I am. I, like, go out and I'm, like, going out to the car and my foot's on the concrete. And it's like, oh, the road, the asphalt, oh. Man, I used to just – you know, I used to have calluses on the feet. So, yeah, but I love the energy of no shoes. And I got to tell you, I love the energy of no underwear. I think I haven't worn this much no underwear in a really long time.
I guess a lot of
all these
in the closet nudists are coming out now. You know what I mean? Because
exactly.
we haven't had to get dressed for so long.
Do that we do to our bodies that are taken out of a natural state. Have always fascinated me. Why do we do that? You know, but we do, right? It's weird because, okay, so when I lived alone, I never wore clothes. I would get home. The first thing that happened is the clothes would come off. No clothes would go on till I had to leave because nobody ever saw me. But now that I'm staying a lot at my girlfriend's place and she has kids, like, it's kind of creepy if I don't wear clothes. So I just wear, like, some, like, jammy kind of clothes. But I do wear clothes. So now, because I'm down here more, I've moved Molly from my house in the valley, and I moved her down here. And she kind of trips because she's not used to seeing me in clothes. And the first couple of weeks when I would see her all the time and I had clothes on, I think she thought we were going to the vet. Because the only time I'd ever be with her when I had clothes on was when I was about to put her in the carrier and take her to the vet. So she's gotten used to the fact now that I wear clothes. But she still kind of looks at me like, why would you wear clothes? What a waste. So
I'm just going to sit around. It's my crazy Tina. Life. I'm going to sit around with my old cat with, like, no clothes on, and we're just going to sit around and be naked, me and the old cat.
And she's
but
looking at you like,
to do
what's
that,
up?
Right? She's oh, like, yeah. Why are you wearing clothes? I mean, am I dying? But now is a free time, right? Now is a time for us to reinvent who people aren't wearing makeup anymore. I still wear makeup when I do my videos, but and I don't really go out. If I'm going out somewhere, I probably wear makeup. But just to kick around and run errands, I'm not wearing makeup. I'm becoming an earth goddess. Now
okay,
is the time for us all to tap into our inner earth goddess.
I know, Sheena. I'm still very girly. My nails are done. I do my hair. I got my makeup on. Even in COVID, I would take a shower because there was so much video calling going on. I couldn't just, you know, work
oh,
in
sure.
my
oh,
robe
yeah.
anymore.
Oh,
everybody wanted a video. I was like, oh, Lord. Yeah, oh, Lord,
yeah,
you want a video? Oh, man. Then I'd take a shower, get dressed,
yeah.
and I was like, oh, wow. Let me put on my face. And
yep.
That was the big outing for the day, was the video calls. But the interesting
thing
is being able to reach so many people and not have to leave the house and be of service and use technology in that way. Like, I'm super grateful for technology. There's a lot of negatives, but it lets us do our work. It's fantastic. And I think
yeah.
people
no,
working
I
from
agree.
Home
I...
is not a bad thing. I think it's people were burnt out at offices, and it's often a toxic work environment. People could be home and be with their loved ones. I mean, I think that's wonderful. Although it's not easy with when the
I
kids
agree.
Are at home, the little kids going to online school and the parents are trying to work. That must have been really hard for people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think you just got used to it. You got used to, you know, you're watching MSNBC and a pundit is talking and all of a sudden a child runs across the screen. Like, you just got used to it and it was okay. And, you know, we learned.
Wasn't that kind of cool, though?
I was going to say, we learned that everybody didn't have to be perfect. We learned that it was okay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sometimes I'd call Amazon or Verizon and I can hear people's kids screaming in the background. And they're, like, apologizing, or the dog's barking, and I'm like, don't apologize. It's cool. You're at home. That's what it sounds like. My dog's barking, too. I think we've cut each other a lot of slack during this time, right? I mean, even all, like, at the end of 2020, right, when they did all those video-only Saturday Night Lives, and they were fantastic.
They were
everybody
fantastic. They were
home
really
doing
creative.
Their thing on Zoom. So
I know. It was really neat.
We learned that we could survive without the world that we thought we could survive without. And that's a huge spiritual uplift and ascension for all to learn that, you know, big fancy pundits on a big fancy corporate-owned news station can interview senators and congresspeople sitting in their kitchens and their bedrooms or... You know, when Chris Cuomo got COVID and he did his show from the basement, so he's isolated from his family, and it was fine. We learned that you can do stuff from wherever you're going to do it, and that's not what it's about. And I think a lot of stations, especially in news, aren't going to go back to the expense of flying people into D.C. or New York or L.A. when it's a lot
no.
easier to have them Zoom from their home.
Yeah, and I think that the higher wisdom of this technology was it wasn't created just for us to be so busy we can't even function and never have time for ourselves. You know, in the 80s, I would listen to channels of what was going to happen, you know, 80s and 90s, what was going to happen in the world. And one of the things is the technology would come that would make it so that we could work less, be with our families more, do all the beautiful things
right.
that we wanted to do for our soul, be creative, be connected. And this is before the internet and cell phones. And we weren't all sure, like, exactly what the inventions were going to be. But look at what it is now. And I think when it first came out, it's kind of like, you know, when the iPhones came out and everybody's standing in line and getting them, technology is like a stampede. And now we're kind of maturing a little bit, hopefully, as virtual reality comes out, that we use it for good, for cultivation, for connection, for bringing people together.
Right. Right. And we're reducing the carbon footprint, right? We're not always in a car. We're not always in a plane. We're not always on a train. We're not always in a subway. I mean, I remember seeing something on the news about 3 months after COVID, so maybe in May, that the actual, like, crust of the earth had cooled.
Oh, I know, right?
Because there wasn't so much cars and planes. And, you know, and I know it's hard when people have, so many people have died, to think about the good things about it. But the advantages of everything, I mean, that's part of being a glass half full person and living in an abundance consciousness, right? It's not right that people had to die for that to happen, but I don't have anything to say after that. Anything I say after that is going to sound horrible, and I don't mean for it to, but throughout the history of the world, right, people die. They die in tornadoes. They die in all, they die from all kinds of things, and it's been a horrible thing, and we will be mourning this time in our lives. Worldwide. But I've talked about this during my interfaith services, and I've talked about this on my shows a lot, that one of the things I think was that was so God-ordained about the pandemic was that every single person on the earth, no matter where they lived, was going through the same thing at the same time. So this whole idea that disasters are for these people, or riots are for these people, or diseases are for this country. No, this one got all of us, no matter where we were. And somewhere in Antarctica, there's a penguin that's like, oh, fuck, I got COVID. So, I mean, everywhere in the world, it hit us. And it made us realize how the same we are, and how we're one human family, and how if somebody loses a child to COVID in Africa, it's the exact same thing as somebody losing a child in Los Angeles. And I think we really began to get, and so, you know, people sometimes only learn things through suffering. We're a very stubborn beast. And I think
that we
learned was, wow, we have this wonderful opportunity to start to think of ourselves as one human family. And I wish we could learn from, I wish we could learn it without a pandemic. I wish we could learn it without a 9/11. I wish we could learn it without a Hurricane Katrina. But sometimes people, human beings, are motivated by tragedy, sadly.
I think it makes people feel their feelings that maybe they wouldn't normally. That's one of the things. It forces us to feel. It forces us to grieve. And during the grieving process, we'll have other things from our life show up that we didn't grieve. A lot of grief is hidden, or it never gets attended to, never gets pleaded. Trauma just sits there waiting in the closet, in the dark, waiting for the moment to pop out again when there's something that's very intense and painful in our lives. And I think trauma, we went through a collective trauma, and it triggered a lot of people's hidden traumas, traumas they had not dealt with. I know it did with me. I had had a fall at the beginning of 2020, so I recovered for 14 months. And when that happened, I went into a trauma. It was like an episode where I saw every event from my life that was traumatic that I didn't deal with. And I fell on concrete, and I needed an operation. I had some serious recovery. It took a long time. And that was before COVID hit here. And so I was going through that healing process while I was serving other people. And what that showed me, a lot of things. One of the things it showed me is I really needed help from a community. And because of the fall, I didn't have insurance at the time, and my lawyer was a sweet man, and he would send me prayer hands. I had a lawyer that would send me prayer hands in my text. And he got me a team with someone to give me an MRI, a physician, surgeon. I got massage. I had everything on a lean. And I had a lot of healing for myself during that time, and it just showed me how vulnerable we are physically, how vulnerable it is to need help and to be a healer and actually need other people to heal us as well and to work with us. It's very humbling to be that person that's always there for others and be forced to go, okay, hands up, I need help now. And for me, that was a big part of this whole process. While I went through all the other things that I mentioned, that inner healing of the physical and myself, I went through a big change in my personal life and had an ending of a relationship. And it was very sudden, very unexpected. And it sent me into a state that was so hard, Sheena. It was the hardest thing I'd ever been through. But it forced me again to get that healing and to write and create and transmute that pain and that trauma of the loss of a relationship and a reality. When you build a reality with someone, you think you're going to live that. And when it suddenly ends unexpectedly out of nowhere, it's like a train wreck emotionally. And I think that's something too. Like maybe people went through a lot of shifts in relationships because COVID was hard on relationships. It made them so important.
Oh, yeah.
It heightened the intensity, the passion. You know, the COVID love affair, damn, was hot, but it couldn't sustain, at least for me. God,
you know, I thought the COVID love affair, I mean, I started the relationship that I thought was my forever relationship, you know, a month before COVID. I mean, we didn't even have a month. We got together January 31st, and then Valentine's weekend, her son got COVID. And the next weekend, her daughter got COVID. The next weekend, she got COVID. And the next weekend, I got COVID. So that first time, right, was just all of us recovering. And me recovering with people that I barely knew, like this new family I barely knew. And it's been challenging. And we talk about it. We understand why couples don't make it through COVID. It's hard. But I always tell my clients, and my partner and I talk to each other about this, you can't judge whether or not you want to be with somebody based on COVID. Things are crazy right now. And it's easy when you feel unhappy to think you feel unhappy about the relationship. But that's not always the case. Sometimes you just feel unhappy because we're living in an unhappy time, you know? So you have to be careful and gentle and loving with people. My purge of friends was 2019. 2019 mm-hmm. was like a friend holocaust. And I'm glad it all happened before COVID because I knew it wasn't COVID that caused it. But then I had all this time where I saw nobody. And it made me really think about a lot of the decisions I had made as with friends and in relationships and the kind of things I didn't want in my life anymore. And, you know, as my best friend likes to say, the circle has closed. I'm a lot more discerning about who I want in my life. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I really relate. I've gone through a friend purge as well. And it is very, very revealing when people leave our life or we realize we need different kinds of relationships. And for me, like I said, I was dating during COVID and, you know, it intensified the connections. Things became more important, more intense, more, you know, like a movie, and even friendships too. The pods that we may have had or the people that we're seeing a lot, you realize how golden people are, how there are treasures, but also sometimes that makes it so the relationships can't continue past that. It's almost like, you know, how people can go through, I don't know, some kind of world event, like a hurricane or something, right? A natural disaster and bond through that. But then afterwards, they can't sustain the relationship. The bonding process is so intense. It's trauma bonding. And I think that happened in my life. There was a lot of trauma bonding during COVID, and especially my love life. And like I said, but also healing And then later you realize that was the time that that needed to happen. You met someone long-term, and I have as well. I'm super happy now. Thank God it didn't work out with the other people. But, man, it showed me who I was, who other people were, and really,
yeah.
What do we want? What do I want? And life got more simple. It's like it was so complicated before. It got real simple. I enjoyed the no traffic, I will tell you that. I'm not missing us all being out here again, driving around worse than ever.
Yeah. I was flying back and forth between Huntington Beach. Yeah, I was flying back and forth between Huntington Beach and Sherman Oaks in 45 minutes, and I was like, holy hell, this is amazing.
Oh, Carmageddon every single weekend. There was nobody on the road.
Yes.
And the air was clean.
It was the most beautiful thing.
Right? Our air was really clean. I really enjoyed that. So now we're back into the hustle and bustle. And
yep.
I feel really good about taking the lessons with me and integrating back into the world. I still haven't been to a concert. I did see a music festival, though, a few months
nice.
Ago. And that was fantastic. We were... Because we'd
nice.
All been pent up in our little pods, right? And it was out in Santa Clarita with my music friends that have the studio, and they threw it together. It's called The Magical Meetings of the Musical Minds. And they're doing one November, I think it's 4th and 5th. They're doing it again. So all their friends, they invited all their friends to play. We set up our camping site, and it was just a love fest. They had a roller rink they built. And a half pipe, so people were roller skating around watching their friends play music and doing the half pipe and having all these beautiful talks everywhere. It was amazing. And so I think as we integrate back into these groups and start to connect again, we're like, oh my God, it's like air to be with people. And socializing has changed forever. It's like I really, really think about what I'm going to do socially now, right? We've had to for our health, but also now, you know, we're still not through this, but where do we want to put our energy? Who do we want to be with?
Right. Yeah. I agree 100%. I have so many things I want to ask you, but we're out of time.
Oh, my God, really?
So we have to do this again because I want to know more things.
Okay.
Where can people find you online? That's what I want to know for now.
Okay. AngelicaPerman.com is where I offer my readings and clearings and information about my work, my healing work. And on Instagram, Angelica Perman and the Sound Empress. And my music will be coming out probably the beginning of next year, music videos and lots of wonderful things. And if anybody wants a reading or a clearing, just connect with me and send me a little email and I'll get you some information. And I also do intuitive mastery classes where people can study with me for a couple of months and really work on their gifts. So that's kind of what I'm up to right now. That's how you guys can find me.
Fantastic. Let's do this again sooner than later, my friend. I love you. The wonderful Angelica Perman, everybody. If you missed those links, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, that's me. RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, that's the show. LiveParanormal.com, that's the station. Till I see you next time. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity. Always raise your vibration. I love you all. See you soon.